Good morning, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the KRFY Morning Show. Joined this morning by Julie Calamine, your normal morning show host, and I'm not joined this morning by my normal co-host, Phil Huff. Phil is out of town, out of the smoky weather, taking a well-deserved hiking, fishing, maybe not fishing, hiking, swimming, paddling sort of vacation, and we'll see him again in a couple of weeks. We've got a great morning show this morning. We're going to be joined by the Music Conservancy of Sandpoint, Karen Wittemeyer and Jane Fritz. And have I misnamed it? All right, let's help me out, you two. Someone give me the correct.
Conservatory.
Yes.
Thank you. And for those of you who aren't aware, Tuesday morning is normally outdoor environment recreation topics. And so you'll have to excuse me, Julie, if I mispronounce or misspeak because it's not my normal topic. But I know I'm going to have great help because I'm joined by two very, very helpful guests, as I said, Jane and Karen. Well, before we reintroduce them and start talking about their upcoming event, let's talk a bit about weather. And if you live in a cave or maybe live somewhere not in Sandpoint, you wouldn't be aware of this, but we have had smoke, and it's not really so much fires around this area, although there are some. It's fires all over the region and all over this part of the country. But because of that, we've got some interesting weather, and today it's going to be haze, smoky haze, of course, high of 78, and then tonight, more haze, low of 50. Wednesday, we're expecting a little warmer temperature with a high of 83, and then, of course, more haze, the low of 52. Thursday, yes, you've got it, haze and a high of 82, and then Thursday night, it's going to be a bit cooler, 49, but Friday, everybody, we're expecting some changes. Slight chance of showers, high of 74, and my picture from the weather service looks like there could be a chance of a little bit of blue sky, and as we said, a slight chance of showers. And by the weekend, it's up to a 40% chance of showers. So there is hope. Well, I'd like to introduce these gals, and then I'd like to talk to Karen a bit about the impact of the smoke on voices and what happens with that. So good morning. We'll start with you, Jane. Good morning,
good morning,
Jane Fritz.
Julie. Thank you very much.
She's has been before and will be again a guest here at KRFY and a very welcome one. We're happy to have you here. We don't always, this is not your usual topic that we're discussing, but it's going to be a good one. You're helping out with the Conservatory. And Karen is also a guest that's joined us before, and this is your topic, of course, because you're the executive director. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning.
So happy to have you.
And, thank you.
And it is an interesting condition that we're living through, all of this haze and smoke. And I'd like it if you'd talk to us a little bit about what's been going on, these readings, and then how it affects you all.
Well, I, being an opera singer, of course, and singing opera is a heavy-duty physical activity, which, of course, involves breathing. As a singer, we breathe. It's a special technique. And certainly that is something we would refrain from just because it's naturally one wants to take in as little of these particles as possible. So right there, it stops us in what we enjoy doing. Because this is year three with these persistent conditions throughout the summer, it is definitely a concern of what one wants to do in August every year in Sandpoint because we don't know if we have continuous impact. So for us as singing, would I to schedule an operatic event during this time in the future worthwhile considering? And it's very, very much impacting, I see, everyone. And it's most unfortunate, and I hope we can engage in an intelligent debate about it in the near future.
That's for sure. You were telling me about the numbers that you'd read.
Beijing was at 92, Sandpoint at 306 particles, which is extraordinary, and it puts us past very unhealthy.
Yes. Jane, are you refraining from activities?
Oh, I didn't walk up here with my mask on this morning for the first time. I did walk across the street and thought to myself, oh, maybe I should have it. I can smell it in the room here.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We're seeing masks everywhere.
Well, I have a little bit of an asthma condition, so it's very serious for me. And the air purifier is going 24/7, and hopefully my voice will hold out.
Yes, mm-hmm. All of ours. Karen, do you consider opera singing as strenuous as certain other activities? It's really strenuous enough that you truly would refrain from singing with this.
Well, because it involves breathing, you know, yes. And expanding, and it's a lot, you know, we use a diaphragm.
Yes.
So, yes, also I feel a certain kind of fatigue, and that is because naturally when the air is so impure, we don't want to take a deep breath.
I feel
it
too.
And we don't get enough oxygen on a continuous basis, and then we begin to see the impact by just being more tired.
Yes, I'm noticing that, and it's surprising because you think, well, if you're a fit person, you'll be fine, but I think all ranges of fitness folks notice. We all notice it.
I remember last summer, actually it was later than that, I think, Julie, where some scientists studying the Montana Sealy Lake people who should have been evacuated for the entire summer in Montana, they found that 6 months later, a lot of young people and all kinds of people in the population who had never had sickness before were coming in with all of a sudden asthma and sort of a latent effect. And
yes.
That happened to me. I didn't really get sick from the smoke until January, February, and I was on inhalers, and I actually used them a few times this week.
It's interesting, isn't it?
It can cause a low-grade inflammation that can stay and linger for years to come, and we may not see any impact until years later.
Yeah.
Which is why people shouldn't do any activities when it's like this.
That's right. Take it easy,
outside,
folks.
Outside, anyway.
All right. Well, we've talked a bit about the smoke and the weather and the impact on singers, but our topic today is an interesting one, and it's an upcoming event, and I think we're going to launch into that early on, because it's very important for the conservatory. And however, we will start, Karen and Jane, by asking you to just give us a short bit of info about yourselves, how you came to be here in Sandpoint, and helping with the Music Conservatory.
Well, I'm going to go first as the elder.
All right. And brief. We'll be brief.
Yeah. I've lived here. Next year, it'll be 40 years.
Oh, my.
And so I do know the community well. And you don't know this, Julie, but I used to be very involved in the arts. I used to work for POAC in the early years of their existence. And I used to do art shows. And I used to publish an arts paper.
So you're coming back around, promoting
and marketing. And, of course, with the Idaho Miss Weaver, the organization I'm part of now, we've done a lot of things that way, too. How I got involved in this project that we're about to talk about is because I have a background in marketing and publicity, and classical music is my love.
Very good. And Karen?
Well, about myself, we moved to Sandpoint 12 years ago. And I'm an opera singer. I also hold a higher degree in archaeology. I'm bicontinental. I was born and raised in Germany. I graduated from UCLA. So we started the school, the conservatory, the School for Performing Arts, almost 10 years ago. So our next year for the school is very much dedicated to celebrating its 10th year anniversary. And part of the development is to really recreate or create a cultural triangle between Spokane and Coeur d'Alene, focusing on the fine arts and breathing new life into the Schuller legacy on this end in a more profound way. So that opens the gateway to some interesting relationships that we're really wanting to nurture. And part of this relationship is that we're very much looking forward to is with the Bach Festival, which also then brought upon this wonderful concert that Jane will talk about more, to have exciting artists come to Sandpoint and on a continuous basis. And also I would like to just give a shout out to Susie Kubiak, who created this beautiful event center that would create is just a perfect space to invite artists to. And very, very exciting. So for this, I will now...
Hang on just a moment. Yes. We're still talking about the cultural triangle. And, you know, thinking about it, we've got Spokane, we've got Coeur d'Alene, and then we've got little tiny Sandpoint. And one might think that the three-legged stool that we're talking about, or the triangle, that Sandpoint would have a hard time holding up its end of the stool, but that's so untrue, isn't it? You know, we're a tiny community and really hold our own, don't we?
Well, for I can absolutely. I think that Sandpoint is on its way of establishing a beautiful profile as an arts community.
Yes,
the school as such is more of an anchor for the fine arts in that way. So there are many other astounding and wonderful organizations involved in the arts. So just our position is more oriented towards the fine arts.
And
opera, you know, I'm also the artistic director of Bel Canto Opera, which is a part of the fine arts as it is evolving or re-evolving.
Yes, it is. Jane?
Well, I was just going to say, Karin kind of went over his name really fast, and that was Gunther Schuller, who I would like to...
She did, and I don't know much about Gunther
Schuller. Well,
that's
because back in the 80s in particular and the 90s, he was the artistic director of the festival at Sandpoint.
Ah.
And it was... When Karin talks about a cultural triangle, boy, I remember going to classical music concerts with some of the finest musicians in the world performing.
Here
in Sandpoint, on the field, Memorial Field. And I can remember one time, for example, Alexander Taratsky, who was a Russian pianist, and it was raining, and nobody moved. Everybody just sat there. You could hear a pin drop on the field. They were so mesmerized by his Rachmaninoff, I believe, or Tchaikovsky, one of the two.
So it's a legacy of the fine
We do
arts.
Still, you know, we still have the festival, of course, and this year was the 20th anniversary of Gary Sheldon, who took over from Gunther Schuller, and it was a wonderful classical concert. That's why I first got involved in the festival. But, you know, we haven't had really, I mean, we have this sort of look at classical music from a viewpoint of excellence and world class, not that often, unless the music conservatory brings someone in, and that's partly why this is happening.
Yes,
this next week.
So I need to just speak to that. I think there's a huge amount of talent right under our nose, and to maybe I would say part of the school. Function is to make visible what is not always visible right here. I appreciate the thought of course, bringing in artists, but I also want to honor what is here and what is being developed. And hopefully we'll, from here, that at some point is not a cultural island, but really enables students to go places where they never thought they would go. We also have an international youth orchestra where we are bringing in students from Mexico and now also from Europe, and we are broadening the scope of students coming in every year. So that vibrant exchange between artist and knowledge, really, and skill, there is an exchange. It's not a one-way street. Everybody comes to Sandpoint, nothing is here. That is absolutely not correct.
Well, and I want to just build on what Karin just said, Julie. The exciting thing about bringing Northwest Bach Fest to Sandpoint, and this is the first time they've done a concert here, is because Zul Bailey, who we're going to be talking about in a minute, their music director, who also took that position after Gunther Schuller. So there's this tie-in between Gunther Schuller and Sandpoint in the past, and Gunther Schuller as artistic director or music director of Northwest Bach Fest, that has now been taken over by Zuhal Bailey. It was Gunther, actually, who first recommended bringing him to Spokane to perform on cello. And it's like his thrust is education. His thrust is exposing people not only to his performance, but the other artists that are coming to this, what we're calling the cello-bration.
Cello-bration.
Yes, because nice. It's going to have four cellists in quartet performing at the Heartwood Center. And, you know, that's next Wednesday night, folks, by the way, at 7 o'clock.
Let's just give this a, let's summarize the event. I know I'm okay. interrupting, but let's let folks well, hear about that, and then we'll move on to talk more about
sure.
it.
Sure. So Northwest Bachfest is organized under Connoisseur Concerts in Spokane. And they've been around, oh, gee, I probably should have had that number. I think it's 40 years or better. And it's a Bach festival. So it's started out as Baroque music, and, you know, it's expanded into... You'll hear Mozart, you'll hear Rachmaninoff. This next week, you'll hear everything from Fauré to, you'll hear Bach for sure, likely, but you'll also hear people like Gabriel Fauré or Sergei Rachmaninoff or somebody maybe you don't know, like Max Bruch. Am I saying that right? The German person here.
Yes.
So, you know, there's, and the thing about Northwest Bachfest is that it does have this incredible educational outreach, which is very appropriate for working with, in cooperation with the Music Conservatory.
Yes, and just go ahead and give us the time, the date, all the contact info. We'll repeat it again, but let's try
well,
and do
that a
few
times. Well, this
is
part of what they call their Summer Classics series, because the main Bach Fest is like 2 weeks in Spokane in February and March. And then they do the Summer Classics the end of August. They'll be performing at the Barrister Winery in Spokane on the 26th, a Sunday, and then they'll be performing the next day in Coeur d'Alene at the Hagedorn Event Center. And this is the first time that they are extending their outreach of both amazing classical music and educational outreach to Sandpoint. So our event with Northwest Bach Fest is Wednesday at 7 p.m. at the Heartwood Center over there on Oak Street, the former Catholic Church. And it will be, well, I don't know if I should say this, but there is also an amazing possibility of a surprise event the next day.
Can you say it now you've...
I can't. You're going to have to wait until next Wednesday night to find out what might happen. But this is the kind of thing that their music director, Zuhal Bailey, does a lot of. And it's also, he's going to be spending a great, we're going to call it pop-up concert somewhere in town.
Ah.
Short, sweet, involving the same amazing cellist that'll be performing the other night, the night before. But then there's going to be this amazing stuff happening the next day on Thursday at the Music Conservatory.
Karen. So part of our mission, of course, is collaboration. And this is a beautiful way to collaborate. And Zuhal's going to teach a master class, which at the conservatory on August the 30th, which is Thursday. So we are inviting those classical music enthusiasts or cello enthusiasts to come and listen in. It will be without doubt a wonderful masterclass. He will be working with young musicians from chamber music to soloists on August the 30th at the Music Conservatory.
And, what time is that, Karen?
It's from 10:30 to 12:30.
All right. And who might be interested in attending that?
Well, educational event might be a better term than masterclass, because we don't want to dissuade people who may not have music background or even play an instrument to come. Zuhl has a real gift in teaching. You know, he came from like 25 years of touring around the world. I don't know if I mentioned this, but Zuhl Bailey is also one of the top cellists in the world.
I don't think you did. We don't know.
And we need to hear more about
him.
He's right up there with Yo-Yo Ma. And so it's like, wow, you know, having this opportunity of having this amazing caliber of performer come to the Sandpoint community to perform is one thing. I mean, he's not in solo performance. I've seen him in solo performance where I've walked out just like in a daze because of his effects. His playing, his artistry, his mastery of the elements of making music, and his cello is 325 years old.
Made when
J.S. Bach was just a child. That's a good question, Julie. I like to say they're both the stars because I've been, okay, I'm going to be honest here. Jane's not a groupie kind of person when it comes to music, but I've heard Zuhl perform either solo or in ensemble, like what will be happening next week, the Heartwood Center, 12 times. So this is going to be my lucky 13th. And I mean, it's just an amazing experience to hear him perform. And it's not like, you know, if you've never gone to a classical music concert, do not let that keep you away. Because, and again, the class the next day, mm-hmm. the educational event the next day, is going to be give people an opportunity to experience music like they've never experienced it before.
You know, I'm glad that you mentioned that, Jane, because I think some of us are a bit daunted by the thought of classical music, or whether we might enjoy it, and, you know, whether it would be worth our, you know, sort of the time that we would commit to a concert like that. And maybe Karin can address for us why, as an example, if you're a person who's not very familiar with classical music, why might they want to attend this evening?
Well, for one thing, it's beautiful to see mastery. Mastery is inspirational, and whenever we can expose the next generation of young musicians to mastery, then when we ask that question, do you want to be average or excellent, when we admit them to the school and they say, we want to be excellent, nobody ever says, I want to be average. Everybody says, I want to be excellent. Then I can say, this is what it takes, right? And for them to be so inspired in their heart, this is where the message comes across.
I just want to add on to what Karin just said there. The outreach educational event the next day, you know, after Zuhl was performing all over the world and all these albums and so on and so forth, and he did that around 25 years. I mean, he's young. He's only 45.
He looks young in
the
photos.
And he's very handsome, by the way.
I would say so.
But he decided, well, I mean, I love this quote. If I can quote a fellow colleague writer, Ted McGregor from The Inlander, did an incredible story about, called The Variations of Zuhl, and called him a badass cellist. He called him a musical missionary, which that ties into the educational part of it. And he's redefining classical music for the 21st century, and particularly Bach. But I have this quote here that Ted used in the story by Zuhl. I call him Zuhl.
And Jane, you're not going to repeat the word you just used, though, in your description of him.
Oh, you know, that was on the front page of The Inlander. Anyway, okay, I don't know if that one is, but anyhow, this is what he says. My childhood changed my life. He started playing music at 4, and I know that the Music Conservatory educates children at that age down the street here. His parents were music educators, both of them. So he says, with all those opportunities, that's hard to say, at my fingertips, it made me feel safe. It gave me the tools to feel comfortable expressing myself. So it makes sense, he continues, that as the dust settles, I gravitate naturally to making a difference in education, bringing music to people who don't have it. And I love that. That's really what this is about. We're not going to be on the stage, for example. He's not going to be on the stage with his three other cellists, and I do want to talk about them for a minute. They're going to be down on the floor against the wall, and the seating is going to be arced around it, so everyone will get a feel an intimacy. He's a kind of performer who, first of all, he's very personable. You'll learn a lot about music. You'll learn about a lot about life in his presentation, in his performing, in his words, in his music. But it's an intimate experience. It's not, you know, set out there on the shelf somewhere that you're afraid to access. He makes classical music so accessible.
And that's really part of the school's mission, especially with the Assistema program that reaches out to make every child that's invisible visible, and to create that access to every child. That's part of our mission. So there's an alignment of mission of why this is important.
Yes.
Also, classical music's perception, at times it can be it's stuffy, old world, you know, from the past, but the school actually is very dynamic, and we have a whole movement, Classical Music is Cool, inviting a badass cellist. It's very much part of it, right?
Okay, they're not going to come after you, Julia, I promise.
All right.
The other thing so it is about excellence in arts and music that people who come to the concert next week will have an opportunity to experience. And it's an opportunity for people, particularly children, students of music, adults as well, not just children, to be able the next day to come down and experience learning about classical music, like I said before, in a way that you have maybe never experienced. He has an ability to do this that's really profound. I have to answer. You know, just mention, in addition to being the music director of Northwest Bach Fest, he's also the music director of the El Paso, Texas Pro Musica. And also where they were last week, these four cellists that are performing next week in Sandpoint. And then also Sitka, Alaska. It's a musical seminar, I think, cello seminar and music festival up there. In fact, I was talking to my sister who lives in Juneau last night on the phone, and I said, you get to hear what we get to hear if you go to this concert in Juneau in a week or so. So he's very involved in teaching and educating other young people in particular.
And inspiring them. I think that word is an extremely mm-hmm. important word, especially right now.
Yes.
Where we need to inspire the next generation to reach for the stars.
So yeah. True. Well, we're going Literally. To take a short music break, and then we're going to come back and talk a bit more about the children that work with you here, Karin, in the community, and programs, a bit more about the school. With that, let's hear, as a request from Jane, somewhat, Yo-Yo Ma, Bach Cello Suite, number 1 in G. It's BWV, I believe. And returning to the Tuesday morning program at KRFY, this is community-supported radio for North Idaho. For those of you who are just joining us, know that if you've missed part or all of our morning's program, you can always find us online at krfy.org and go to the podcast tab, and you'll be able to listen to any of our morning show programs that you might have missed. We're returning to our Tuesday morning show with the Music Conservatory of Sandpoint with guests Karin Wiedemeyer and Jane Fritz. And Jane is going to correctly identify the song that we've just heard.
Well, just a little backup, Julie. J.S. Bach wrote 6 suites of cello, solo cello music. We were just listening to suite number 3, and it was the Sarabande, which is this beautiful, romantic, slow, the Sarabandes are all, but they're all dances. So each of the movements, and there are 6 suites and 6 movements to each suite, so 36 actual movements are comprise the Bach cello suites. Now, what's really interesting, we were just listening to Yo-Yo Ma. He's the only other musician I can think of who's performed all 6 in one sitting, except for Zool Bailey. And I happened to, the first time I heard Zool was at St. John's Cathedral in Spokane, and it was his first year being brought in. No one knew at the time that he'd become the music director and stick around. And Gunther Schuller was still the music director at the time, and they brought him in, and he played 3 of those suites, so 18 movements. And, you know, I literally floated out of the cathedral. In fact, I had to go, I had to go with my friend to take a walk, and we discovered this labyrinth in the landscape that we walked that actually brought us back down to earth. It was that kind of transcendence, without any music. You know, he's just there and performing on his 325-year-old cello by himself. It was remarkable. It was incredible. Well, the following year, he did all 6. And you know, he would speak about them. You know, he would take breaks and talk about what he was about to play. But they're dances, so if you can listen to Bach sometime again, and we're going to hear another piece at the end of the program, I believe, by a different cellist, but, you know, think about that. Think about them. I was listening to them as I was working on press releases and marketing material, and they're just so inspiring. And anyway, the other thing I want to mention about Zool Bailey that he's not as well known here in our community for some reason. However, he's a triple Grammy Award winner from 2017 for a CD called Tales of Hemingway that was composed working with Zool. Zool won a Grammy for being part of one of the composers on the CD with Michael Dougherty, who is a very well-known and upcoming composer in America. And it's called Tales of Hemingway, and it's a CD. I mean, I've heard it twice. I don't actually own it yet. I will.
Soon to be corrected.
But it is profound. Dougherty, with Zool's assistance, they take the stories of Hemingway, of Ernest Hemingway, his novels, and they put music to it. So the music tells the stories, and Zool was chosen to both perform and help write it. And the 3 Grammys that he won, it's very unusual in the classical music world. He received 1 Grammy for performing it, 1 Grammy for, you know, the compendium of writing it, and the 3rd Grammy, what was the 3rd Grammy? I'm forgetting now. But so he's a Grammy Award-winning cellist, folks. You know, yes. You're not going to get that chance in Sandpoint.
And during the break, we were just having a discussion about this. And, you know, why are some of our Grammy Award-winning folks not very well known? And Karin had some thoughts about that.
Well, making the classical music or the fine arts reintroducing that as a relevant component of the general education that children are experiencing nowadays, reintroducing orchestra as not just a flash experience or here and there, but really bringing that to just about every school. The El Sistema program very much intends to do that, that the school now is official member of. Also creates an audience and a dialogue. When children see other children perform, then it's inspirational to them. When they then get exposure to hear a master, that is even more inspirational because then they understand the level of skill that's possible. And that is relevant into a child's education overall. So really getting as many children involved as possible and creating an audience that way and for them to really experience all the different aspects of the fine arts is what we are hoping to do and is part of the school's mission and also inspiring the children to really achieve. And I think Zuhl has that capacity to inspire these children overall, not just in Sandpoint, but overall, wherever he goes, I understand that. So I personally am honored that he's coming, and I look so much forward to it.
Karin, as we're talking about children and being exposed to the classical music, what is the likelihood that there will be children at this concert?
Well, there will be, hopefully for the master class or the educational performance, of course. For the performance itself, that remains to be seen. We are reaching out to everyone. And maybe it will take more than 1 year, and we are looking to continue that exposure. And we are hoping that we can reinvite Zuhl, and maybe he will come every year. And we are building an audience for him, introducing more and more children to that.
Well, I want to mention that we have a student price at the concert.
Oh, good.
Yes. And, tell us about that. And actually, at many of the Northwest Bach Festival concerts that I've been to in the Spokane area mainly, there are a lot of youth in the audience. It's not just about the music educational event. It's really about coming and hearing this performance, particularly because there are three other cellists. Julie and I didn't tell you anything about them, and
yes,
I need to.
Need to.
Because it is a quartet. So the first person is Zuhl, the Grammy Award-winning Zuhl Bailey, that you'll just learn so much from and be touched by. But he's also performing with Dr. Melissa Kraut, who is a leading pedagogue and one of the leading cello instructors, teachers in the country. She's from the Cleveland Institute of Music, and it's a pretty well-known, important school. And so she's going to be there performing, and she's also going to be part of the educational event the next day. In addition, because of that inspiration that Karin was referring to, there are two young, outstanding cellists. Cicely Parnas, and then Jared Blahian, I think is how you pronounce his name. I apologize for not knowing exactly how to pronounce that, but they are both young cellists who are out of music school, who Zuhl has chosen to come and be part of the Summer Classics series. Again, because what Karin was saying is that future for classical music, you know, a lot of people thought not that long ago that classical music was dead, but it's anything but that. You know, his generation of, you know, 40-somethings, 30-somethings, 20-somethings who are up and rising in classical music are changing. They're redefining classical music for our time. And it's a time where classical music heals. It's a time where we need this kind of music to bring us harmony and bring us peace. That's why I listen to it, because the world is so chaotic and difficult.
Disharmonic.
This kind of music brings harmony to our lives, and so we do want youth there. The ticket prices, I don't know May I speak about the ticket prices?
Course.
They're $30, which is actually lower than a lot of the other venues that Azul performs at. They always sell out in Spokane and Coeur d'Alene. We hope to sell out here. There's only 150 seats. You get your tickets on brownpapertickets.com online, so be sure to do that soon. And we're going to have wine sales before the concert. Thanks to the Ponderay Winery is going to be pouring for us. They loved Zool and Gertrude Harvey, the executive director of Northwest Bach Fest, believes that drinking good wine is an art in itself, and music goes very well with that, and classical music goes very well with that. So there'll be an opportunity just to make it a really relaxing, wonderful evening of music. So with four outstanding cellists, two of them up and rising musicians, and then this amazing teacher of classical cello, and with Zool, the amazing additional performer, it's going to be remarkable.
Be a special night.
It's going to be a cellobration,
so.
For
yes,
sure.
Yes,
for
it
sure.
is. Well, it's actually kind of inspiring to me, I've got to say. And I'm one of those people that's a little bit intimidated by classical music. And I would have to say that you've encouraged me to consider attending. So you're doing a good job, you two.
This is good to hear.
And classical music is cool.
It is cool. And we know
right?
that. Why do we know that?
We know that classical music is cool, and children are discovering how cool it really is and how much fun it can be, how much fun it can be to play in an orchestra and exploring these exciting instruments, holding a hand-carved, beautiful violin, experiencing the artistry and the skill that just goes into even making an instrument and
so
exploring
true.
Them. You know, it's just there. It is... understanding quality also is a really important part. We need to teach our children to understand quality.
Jane wants to comment, but before that, hang on. Karin, tell you, you didn't quite get there with why classical music is cool. There's another reason.
I
that's
have
related.
An answer.
Can you go, Jen?
No, hang
well,
on.
No,
hang
I
on.
Do. I do. Because it ties into what she was saying. One of the students of the Music Conservatory, I interviewed her after she was performing on the Panada stage a week or so ago as part of their chamber music orchestra. Alina Flocchini.
Yes.
She is the cellist for the chamber music orchestra for the conservatory. I spoke to her afterwards, and lo and behold, Julie, she had heard Zool Bailey performed those six Bach suites we were talking about earlier. And she was like 7 or 8 years old at the time. Now she's 15, and she has played cello for 3 years, is part of the conservatory, and she's a little nervous, but she's so excited about having a chance to actually learn from this performer that she heard when she was a child.
Tiny, a tot, really.
And she remembers. So that inspiration that Karin was talking about, here we have a student in Sandpoint, a cello student in Sandpoint, who's going to get an opportunity firsthand to learn from this musician that she heard when she was a child.
All right, I have to admit that is cool, Jane. And with the interruption. But Karin, why else is it cool? And it has to do with our radio station.
Yes, so our wonderful music director, John Fitzgerald, is hosting, can I say that? The Classical Music is Cool program here at your station on Sundays at 6 o'clock.
Yes.
And he is working very hard with a team of our musicians and other staff to produce a show to introduce some of the fun, intriguing, wonderful aspects of classical music that really are relevant forever, because quality really doesn't cease to exist. It just has a... And that's it lasts forever, and it's always relevant.
Yes.
And So he is running that program.
And we love it. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. It does a great job. As we near the end of our Tuesday morning show and get ready to close and go to a song break, I'd just like to ask you to once again repeat the details of the event and any other final thoughts you might have.
So a Cellobration. It'll be at the Heartwood Center on next Wednesday, August 29th at 7 p.m. Doors open at 6 for wine sales, so come early and enjoy mingling. That's another thing that Zuhl and his performers do, is they mingle with the audience before the concert.
They do?
Yeah, and after. So, you know, again, he's very personable, and he believes that that's really important. You don't want it to be at arm's length. You want it to have an intimate experience, and it will be. And he'll be in performance with, and remember, he's a triple Grammy Award-winning cellist, Zuhl Bailey, with Dr. Melissa Kraut, Cicely Parnas, and Jared Blahian. And it'll be beautiful selections from Bach, Couperin, Fauré, and more. Tickets are $30, $15 for students, and they're available at brownpapertickets.com, or you can call 1-800-838-3006, 24/7. Or go online for northwestbachfest.com. So those are the details. I hope you'll come, Julie. I think it would be really great. I guarantee you, you'll never forget this experience.
I'm going to try, Jane. It sounds great. And Karin, any last thoughts about either the concert, the school?
Just really to speak to the educational event that is to follow on the next day. And to bring this to your attention, to welcome you to attend on August the 30th at the Music Conservatory at 110 Main Street from 10:30 to 12:30. You are welcome to call the school at 265-4444 if you have any questions, but we look very much forward to seeing you there.
Very good.
And that's free, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is. Mm-hmm. That's great news.
We do love donations.
And listen in to next Thursday morning's KRFY, maybe with Jack, to hear what special pop-up event might be happening.
Yes.
But you won't
still
know until Thursday morning.
Still a surprise.
A week from tomorrow.
Something to look forward to. Well, with that, we're going to take a music break. And as Jane alluded to earlier, it's going to be another Bach cello suite. Number 3, Jane, in C. And
is this the prelude? Are you going to play?
Boy, what was it? You know what? I'm not sure. Maybe you'll be able to help me out with that. But our artist is Honor, I believe, Bisma. And with that, we'll go to